This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Let's bring in Todd Furman, Bet the Board podcast. Also, of course, on FS1, where he wears the crown often. On Lock It In. Welcome back, Todd. How are you doing, buddy?
Always good to chat with you guys on a Wednesday morning, gents.
Hey, we've got a great schedule this weekend. We've been waiting on a good weekend like this one, and there's so many big games across the board, and that includes the Red River Shootout or rivalry, however you want to reference that game, Oklahoma and Texas. A lot is being made of Jalen Hurts playing in this game and the intensity of that. He started a lot of big games. This seems like a big number. What shot do you give Texas to pull the outright upset in this one?
Well, I think if Texas's performance defensively against LSU was any indication a couple of weeks ago, they better be a lot better on that side of the ball facing an Oklahoma offense that's leading the nation in yards per play at a shade less than 10 yards per. You look at Texas, they give up over 6 yards per play, which is good for 85th in the country. And you mentioned Jalen Hurts. We know he's got a resume right now starting to check all those boxes. And you look at how he performed in a limited sample size in the Iron Bowl, if you want to use that as any indication. 40 of 59 for 451 yards and 4 touchdowns in 3 editions of that big rivalry game. You look at this number here, and it suggests an Oklahoma blowout. I know history has been on the side of the underdog, especially when you look at Texas catching points like this. But the more I dig into this, it's Oklahoma's resume that has me asking questions. They have encountered a team that can actually move the ball up and down the field, Houston notwithstanding earlier in the season. So I would lean towards Texas, but this is a game, honestly, gents, that I really don't have a strong conviction one way or another. I would also lean towards the over at 75.5. I think both these teams can have some success moving the football.
Hey, Todd, another big rivalry out there, USC-Notre Dame. To me, 2018 USC, not as good as this USC team. And last year's Notre Dame team, I thought, was better than this Notre Dame team. That was a one-possession game in the Coliseum last year. Now USC, with a healthy Keenan Slovis, is getting 11 points. To me, it's too many points.
And I'm right there with you on this game. I actually made this number closer to a touchdown. What's crazy to think about, if you look at numbers, Notre Dame ultimately closed a 10.5-point favorite against Virginia, now an 11-point favorite against USC. On a neutral field right now, I make USC roughly a field goal favorite. So immediately off the bat, I have a little bit of value there. You mentioned Slovis coming back. He is an upgrade for Matt Fink because of the arm strength he possesses. You look at the extra time to prepare, USC appeared to have really run into a wall going into that Washington game. And the one spot that they've struggled, whether it was Fink or Slovis, was when teams dropped 8 into coverage. I have to imagine Graham Harrell is going to place an emphasis on the potential zone defenses he could encounter. The other thing is Notre Dame's biggest weakness, in my opinion, is the secondary. I mean, this is a team that was already thin at the back. You lose a veteran cornerback in Sean Crawford with a gruesome dislocated elbow injury against Virginia. And they made Bryce Perkins look pretty proficient as a passer as he ran up over 300 yards in that game. I think SC can go on the road in a little bit of inclement weather, take this down to the final possession, and maybe even have a chance to win this outright. USC's receiving corps should have a big day if their quarterbacks can get it to him in space.
Todd Furman is with us. He joins us each week on the Natty Seltzer Hotline, and you can follow him at bettheboardpodcast.com, at Todd Furman on Twitter. See him on FS1, locking in every single day at 3:30. He is the former odds maker there at Caesars Palace. One thing that doesn't happen a lot, I don't think, for you guys out in the desert, is you open, or you don't, but the sports books open the Alabama line, and it starts to drop. But that's what's happened against Texas A&M. That seems uncommon recently, and why is it happening?
Well, I think part of it is the fact that you look at Alabama, and this is a team defensively not nearly as stout as what we've grown accustomed to in the past. I mean, they've given up numbers against teams that are actually providing a living, breathing offense. 23 points on the road at Columbia against South Carolina. You give up 31 points at home against Ole Miss, and games that I know took a little bit of unique sequences late in the contest for the underdogs to get there, but suggest that Alabama might be slightly overvalued. Meanwhile, Texas A&M earlier this season, they go on the road to Clemson, a game that closes 15.5. And now you're talking about them catching 17 points initially in their own building. So I think that price tag was a little bit inflated. Jimbo Fisher's team has failed to meet expectations early on in the campaign. The offense has operated in fits and spurts behind Kellen Mond, who we thought was going to be improved. But I look at this number here, and I have some major concerns. Not that Alabama would lose this game outright, but that they're going to have an ability to cover here. I think we're finally going to see Texas A&M look like a top 20 caliber team that we haven't seen much of this season. So I'm fully on board with this line move here. I think the dog is live.
The dog is live with Texas A&M. That's our headline here on the roundtable this morning with Todd Furman. Florida State and Clemson. Clemson coming off the scare with North Carolina. Now here comes a Florida State team that seems to have found Alex Hornibrook as a quarterback and with a nice defensive analyst in Jim Lovett there with him. So give me your thoughts on Florida State.
Well, one thing on the Alabama game, judging how much ire I drew from some of your loyal listeners picking Florida against Auburn, I have to be very careful picking against the local team. So I may do that with a grain of salt going forward. I don't want social media to fill up with all that animosity.
You were challenged to a bet last week. In hindsight, you should have said yes.
Probably should have taken that bet, although I might be waiting for the Venmo transfer when he told me that Auburn was going to blow out Florida. When we look at this Florida State-Clemson game, guys, it's a massive number, and Florida State hasn't exactly been good to its backers. The last 17 games they've played in conference, they're only 5-12 against the number. Meanwhile, Clemson up until this season had been an ATM machine, going 20-1 straight up its last 21 against ACC opponents, covering the spread at a better than a 70% clip. But you mentioned that Florida State defense, and it's shown improvement under Jim Levitt's leadership. This is a Clemson offense that we haven't seen really click on all cylinders. Maybe the bye week helped get them whole, but I think when you go into the extra time to prepare, Kendall Briles will have Florida State ready to go. And I look at this Seminoles team still a little bit undervalued. The only way for me to look is taking those generous points and maybe even making a case for Florida State in the first half as well.
Hey, when it's not expected, Todd, weird things happen in Iowa City. And I know Iowa's offensive line was horrendous against Michigan. I kind of expected that. But Penn State, to me, is getting overvalued. I think we've got another live dog situation. I think Iowa wins the game outright. How do you feel about Iowa catching points against Penn State?
No complaints with back in Iowa here, especially as that number ticks up over a field goal. Only the 10th meeting between these teams since 1992. And when you look at some of the defensive metrics that are going to be on full display, if you're looking for an offensive shootout, probably not the game for you. Where Penn State, 6th in the country in yards per game allowed, 3rd in yards per play allowed, 2nd in points per game, 4th in yards per game rushing, and 1st in yards per carry. But Iowa no slouch in that department either. They're top 15 across the board. You mentioned the game against Michigan, and I'm not sure if it was a protection scheme or what was going on with Brian Ferentz, but they could not hold up against the pass rush from Michigan. I think a much different atmosphere at night. We know Kinnick Stadium can be one of the more underrated home field advantages in all of the country. And Penn State, offensively, I have some questions here about Sean Clifford. They haven't faced a top 25 defense. That's where I think Iowa can win the game, creating a short field, making a big play in special teams. And Nathan Stanley has to be better this week than he was last week. Give me Iowa here, plus the points. I'm with you, Lance. I think they can win that game outright.
And finally, the biggest game in the country, two top seven teams, Florida in Baton Rouge against LSU. Your thoughts on that one?
Well, this is a game, guys, when I looked at the number, immediately wanted to make a case for LSU being almost a two-touchdown favorite. Now, the more I dug into it, I start to have concerns about LSU, not because of the numbers they put up offensively, but because of the defenses they faced. You go through their schedule, and they haven't faced a team as far as defensive efficiency inside the top 60. Now, I know LSU has outscored their opponents 273-99. They have the best point differential to this point in the season for any LSU team since 1930, and something I never thought would come out of my mouth, having the number one scoring offense in the FBS. But this LSU offensive line, in my opinion, still has some holes. I think Florida can get after the quarterback. And as long as the Gators are able to keep this in arm's reach, I think Kyle Trask showed last week against Auburn that he can dink and dunk his way down the field. They can hit a big play or two. And as long as they can withstand the initial barrage from LSU in hostile territory, Florida may stick around in this game. I think, though, if the Gators are going to be successful, this game has to go over the total because LSU is going to score. Can Florida keep up to cover? I would lean that way. I would be more inclined to make a slight case to go over. But this will be a game I'm more fascinated to watch than I am to bet.
All right. We are out of time. We can't get Furman's breakdown on Redskins-Dolphins this weekend, so you'll have to listen to Bet the Board podcast for that, right?
Well, you know what? This is the typical game for the Dolphins, a franchise that can't really do much well, where they'd actually go out there and win a game to hurt their effective odds to try and tank this season. But you have seen the Dolphins as 3.5-point underdogs. Scary to think about laying points on the road with the Washington Redskins.
That's crazy. All right, Furman, thank you very much.
Always a pleasure, guys. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Follow the show on Instagram at Jocks Roundtable.